We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the 9th canto, 15th chapter, text number 6 to 24. So I'll read from text 16 all the way to 23, and then we'll read 24 together. Okay? So I'll just start reading. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So texts 16 to 19. King Parikshit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, what was the offense that the Kshatriyas who could not control their senses committed before Lord Parshuram, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for which the Lord annihilated the Kshatriya dynasty again and again? Sukadeva Goswami said, the best of the Kshatriyas, Kartavirya Arjuna, the king of the Hayayas, received 1,000 arms by worshipping Dattatreya, the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. He also became undefeatable by enemies and received unobstructed sensory power, beauty, influence, strength, fame, and the mystic power by which to achieve all the perfections of yoga, such as anima and lagima. Thus, having become fully opulent, he roamed all over the universe without opposition, just like the wind. Once, while enjoying the water of the river Narmada, the puffed up Kartavirya Arjuna, surrounded by beautiful women and garlanded with the garland of victory, stopped the flow of water with his arms. Because Kartavirya Arjuna made the water flow in the opposite direction, the camp of Ravana, which was set up on the bank of the Narmada near the city of Mahishmata, was inundated. This was unbearable to the ten-headed Ravana, who considered himself a great hero and could not tolerate Kartavirya Arjuna's power. A small purport. Ravana was out touring to gain victory all over the countries, Digvijay, and he had camped on the bank of the Narmada River near the city of Mahishmata. So we're getting an indication of how powerful this Kartavirya Arjuna is. Texts 22 and 23. When Ravana attempted to insult Kartavirya Arjuna in the presence of women and thus offended him, Kartavirya Arjuna easily arrested Ravana and put him in custody in the city of Mahishmati, just as one captures a monkey and then releases him neglectfully. Once, while Kartavirya Arjuna was wandering unengaged in a solitary forest and hunting, he approached the residence of Jamadagni. Purport. Kartavirya Arjuna had no business going to the residence of Jamadagni, but because he was puffed up by his extraordinary power, he went there and offended Parshuram. This was the prelude of his being killed by Parshuram for his offensive act. So we're getting an indication here. We just read previously the pastimes of Lord Ram and how powerful Ravana was. And we could see this Kartavirya Arjuna, how powerful he was. He just captured Ravana like a monkey and just, you know, put him away and then neglectively let him go. So this is his power. So, did I read the purport for this one? Okay, we'll go to the next one. This is the verse we're going to chant together. Tasmai sa nardevaya. Tasmai sa nardevaya. Munir arhanam arharat. Munir arhanam arharat. Sasanyamatya Vahaya Sasanyamatya Vahaya Havismatya Tapodanaha Tasmai sa Naradevaya Munir Arhanam Arharat Sasanya Matya Vahaya Havishmatya Tapodanaha Tasmai sa Naradevaya Munir Arhanam Arharat Sasanya Matya Vahaya Havishmatya Tapodanaha Vaishnavis. Tasmai unto him sa he Jamadagni Naradevaya unto King Kartavirarjuna Muni the great sage Arhanam paraphernalia for worship Aharat offered. Sasanya with his soldiers. Amatya his ministers. Vahaya and the chariots, the elephants, the horses, or the man who carried the palanquins? Havishmatya. Because of possessing a kamadenu, a cow that could supply everything. Tapadana. The great sage, whose only power was his austerity, or who was engaged in austerity. So a translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The sage Jamadagni, who was engaged in great austerities in the forest, received the king very well, along with the king's soldiers, ministers, and carriers. He supplied all the necessities to worship these guests, for he possessed a kamadenu cow that was able to supply everything. So please repeat. The sage Jamadagni, who is engaged in great austerities in the forest, received the king very well, along with the king's soldiers, ministers and carriers. He supplied all the necessities to worship these guests, for he possessed a kamadenu cow that was able to supply everything. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Brahma Samhita informs us that the spiritual world, and especially the planet Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna lives, is full of Sarabi cows. Sarabir apipalayantam. The Sarabi cow is also called Kamadenu. Although Jamadagni possessed only one Kamadenu, he was able to get from it everything desirable. Thus he was able to receive the king, along with the king's great number of followers, ministers, soldiers, animals, and palanquin carriers. When we speak of a king, we understand that he is accompanied by many followers. Jamadagni was able to receive all the king's followers properly and feed them sumptuously with food prepared in ghee. The king was astonished at how opulent Jamadagni was, because of possessing only one cow, and therefore he became envious of the great sage. This was the beginning of his offense. Parshuram, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, killed Kartavirjuna because Kartavirjuna was too proud. He may possess unusual opulence in this mature world, but if one becomes puffed up and acts whimsically, he will be punished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the lesson to be learned from this history, in which Parshuram became angry at Kartavirjuna and killed him and rid the entire world of Kshatriyas 21 times. Whew. Wow. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshusumi Tamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Tubhischa Kripasindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So we're into another fantastic, amazing pastime with our amazing hero, Parshuram. He's actually a superhero, and he goes beyond extreme with his activities because he's a Shakta Vesha avatar. And whatever he does, because he's the Supreme Lord, it's beneficial to everybody. Just like we hear about extreme sports, we have these surfers that ride these like tidal waves and do extreme activities of fighting or so many other, you know, extreme sports. But here we see Lord Parshuram is beyond extreme. He's just amazing. And this is what we'll discuss a little bit about Parshuram. and how he became empowered. And actually, you know, the surfer is empowered by Krishna. Everything we get comes from Krishna's energy. Krishna empowers all of us to do whatever, to see, to walk. Whatever abilities or talents we have, we're actually empowered by Krishna. It's Krishna's energy. So we should use it for Krishna. So we are like a vessel. And the more pure vessel we become, and free from all other material desires, then more we're empowered to fulfill Krishna's desires and his mission. And then the second part we'll discuss about the Kamadhenu cow, just how important it is. So in the beginning here, I had a fantastic image of Lord Parshuram, who looked very fierce, all kinds of red. And then we show his chopper just dripping with blood, and heads and arms and legs are just scattered everywhere, piled up like a mountain. And he created lakes, actually, from their blood. You can still go to these places where these lakes are. They're not red anymore, but they're still there. So this is amazing, extreme, fantastic personality, Lord Parshuram. So as we can see here, he created this ghastly river. He brought great fear to kings. Unfortunately, you can't see the graphics, but anyway, I'll save you the gross, and it's not really that gross, but it's very amazing. So this is Lord Parshuram. He's on his eternal mission, as the Supreme Lord is. This paritranaya saranum vinasya cha duskritam, to protect the devotees and to annihilate the miscreants. So this is what the task of the Supreme Lord is to kill the sinful, punish them. And this is what Lord Parshuram did 21 times. 21 generations of Kshatriyas he killed. Why? Because they became proud, because they became puffed up. And on the plea that he was getting even because they stole the cow, as we'll see, they stole this Kamadhenu cow from his father. They became envious. And on that plea, he killed all the armies of this great king. So what happened is, we'll find out in this chapter, that this great king, Kartavirjuna, he entered his capital with that cow. Just see how powerful he was, more powerful than Ravana, who we know Ravana was, the demigods feared him, and he was controlling everything practically. But he just grabbed him like a monkey and tied him, you know, just neglected him. Even though he's so powerful and had everything, and he would travel the universe like the wind, unrestricted. But yet, he saw this humble sage with this jewel in the form of a Kamadhenu cow, and he became envious of him. I want that too. I'm the enjoyer. Everything is for me, right? I'm the controller. I'm the enjoyer. This is the disease of the mature world. So he did that. He actually stole the cow when Parshuram was away. And he came back and he became very angry. So he went after him and he entered his city. And in that city, he was so angry and he was brilliant. It's described like the moon. And he had this deer skin for cloth and his chopper and his arrows and shield. And when this demon king, Kartavirjuna, saw him, he became afraid. And he sent all his soldiers to stop him. Not only a few soldiers, but not even an Akshahini soldiers. It's a description of what an Akshahini is. He sent not one, but he sent 21, wasn't it? 21 Akshahinis. And what that consists of, Prabhupada describes in one of the purports, he quotes the Mahabharata, Adi Parva, second chapter. This is a description of how many soldiers he sent to stop Parshuram. Okay, so there's one chariot, one elephant, five infantry soldiers, three horses are called a pati. By those who are learned in the science, the wise also know that a senamukha is three times what a pati is. Three senamuktas are known as one guma. Three gumas are called a gana. and three ganas are called vahini. Three vahinis have been referred to by the learned as apritana. Three patanas equal one chamu, and three chamos equal one anikini. The wise refer to ten akinis as one akshuhini. So this is the akshuhini. It's been calculated that it's 21,870. Who knows the science of such calculations? That's how many chariots there were. And then the number of elephants was the same. And the number of infantry soldiers was 109,350. And the horses were 65,610. That's an akshuhini. And he sent 21 of them after Lord Parshuram. And just one person, Lord Parshuram, who is empowered. He's a Shaktivesh avatar. He's empowered. He's like a jiva, but he's empowered with God, the energy of God. And he wiped them all out at the speed of the mind. Can you imagine that? He got a little tired, and then he went at the speed of the wind. And he completely wiped them all out. And then after he did that, came for the king. And then the king, you know, became very angry. And so what he did is he had 1,000 arms. He had this benediction from this great personality who was expansion of Narayan, right? And he attacked Lord Parshuram with his 1,000 arms. He had 500 bows. And he shot all these arrows at once. And even though Lord Parshuram had one bow, he cut to pieces all those arrows and bows. Just see his prowess, amazing. And then this demon king tried to attack him and picked up trees and hills, uprooted him with his arms and was attacking Lord Parshuram. And then Parshuram just simply cut his arms off with his chopper and then cut off his head. So then he was finished. But this great, wonderful, amazing story, this is only part one. In the next chapter, there's part two. So we'll get to that next chapter. So this Kartavirjuna, he thought that his Parshuram's father, Jamadagni, was more powerful and wealthy than himself. So therefore he stole that, thinking he's the controller and the enjoyer. So this is what happens when people become puffed up with material power. And they think that they can forcibly do anything they want. So they stole this calf. And therefore they were punished. And Prabhupada writes in a very nice purport to a verse in this chapter, where he says here, how the cow, it refers to one who supplies havis or ghee for the performance of ritualistic ceremonies in human life, and how we should be trained to perform yajnas. And that's described in the Bhagavad Gita, that if we don't perform yajnas and we just work for sense gratification, then that is not civilization. That's actually a civilization of dogs and hogs, Prabhupada says. So this has to be regularly performed. Otherwise, there won't be any rain in the sky. And without rain, the soil won't be fertile to produce all the necessities of life. So therefore, yajna is essential. And performing this yajna, one needs ghee. So therefore, the cow is so important. So this is the whole Vedic culture, is that we have to have this Brahminical culture established. And the cow helps give the ingredients for the Brahmins to perform their yajnas. So this is what was described. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport, he says about this Goloka Vrindavan, you know, he mentions that this verse from the Brahma Samhita, Chintamani Prakarasadmasu Kalpavrikshe Laksha Vritisu Sudabir Abhibalyantam, that I worship Lord Govinda, the Supreme Lord, the first progenitor who is tending the cows, yielding all desire in abodes built with spiritual gems. surrounded by millions of purpose trees, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. So Prabhupada mentions somewhere, I think it might have been a lecture, that Krishna lives in this Goloka Vrindavan, and it's the biggest spiritual planet, you know, in the spiritual world. And it's lotus-shaped. I had a nice image of that. So it's much bigger than all those Vaikuntha planets there. And what to speak, it's bigger than that and all the material universes put together. And what is that place? Prabhupada says, it's the planet of the cows. It's simply a huge pasturing ground for Krishna's cows. Can you imagine that? And then in the purport to that Brahma Samhita verse, it's very nicely described how this spiritual world is built with Chintamani gems. Those are the material, those are the elements that are used to create the spiritual world. That they're Chintamani gems, wish-fulfilling gems. Like in the material world, there's five elements, how this material world is built. But the spiritual world is built with these Chintamani gems mentioned in this verse. And there's cows there. And the Kamadeno cows are a little different than the ones here. They can supply unlimited milk, give you anything you want. But there in the spiritual world, it's described that they pour forth oceans of milk in the shape of the fountain of love, showering transcendental bliss that does away with the hunger and thirst of all pure devotees. Wow, isn't that amazing, huh? So this is what it's like in the spiritual world. So we had some very nice, beautiful pictures of Krishna and his cows. And we can see from those pictures just how much he loves cows. And if we don't love cows, and we see what's happening when the cows are exploited, so many problems, so much suffering is going on. And it's simply because of this cow neglect, this cow killing. It's going on in such a huge scale. Even in India, it's described. And we can see how that's happening. So there was one nice image I had. The cow is so sacred. There's even a sacred oath that you can pray to the sacred cow. And there's one prayer I'll mention here where you pray, O Most Reverend Mother Sarabi, you are the purifying Mother Ganga and the goddess of sanctity. You are the healer of all diseases, the bestower of good health, and the embodiment of Maharishi Dhanvantari. We read about Dhanvantari in a previous chapter, how he brought the elixir, the nectar of immortality, and the Vedic science. So she is the embodiment of Dhanvantari. Oh, you are the goddess of fortune and the provider of nourishment, nourishing agricultural products. So has anybody ever heard of the Sarabi Mudra? You've heard of it, right? It's where you put your fingers in a certain way and you, let's see, it goes like this. And it does, it has so many benefits. Just the mudra of the Sarabi cow has so many benefits. And I'll just mention a few. It has a positive effect on the digestive and metabolic functions of the body. It activates and strengthens the solar plexus. It enhances the digestive system. It is a curative mudra which has the power to cure all the three doshas according to Ayurveda. These doshas denotes the impurities and creates imbalance in our body. By practicing Sarabi Mudra, a balance can be achieved in three doshas. It's the destroyer of all three impurities. It detoxifies the system. It calms the mind. It helps attain clarity and concentration. It also helps in yoga practice by releasing the mind's impurities. So it goes on and on and on about all the different things it could do. Improves our health, our happiness, in so many different ways. Just the mudra from the Sarabi cow has so much benefit. What to speak of the cow and all the products that are produced from the cow. My wife just made some ghee, which you make. She made yogurt. She made butter. We got buttermilk. We just gave some to Shastra Krit. He loves that buttermilk. And then the butter, you taste it, it's like nectar. And then the ghee, what to speak of the ghee, you could put it in so many different things and cook with it. It's just amazing. It helps, you know, with so many things like that. So we can see there's an image I have. It shows, we read in the previous chapter when they were churning the ocean of milk. After, when they first started churning, there was poison that was produced. And Lord Shiva drank up all that poison. And then the first thing that came out of the ocean of milk, do you know what it is? Yeah, the Sarabi cow. So she came out. And it's described there, probably describes it as the source of butter, Havidani. And he says, when clarified butter is melting, produces ghee or clarified butter, which is inevitably necessary for performing great ritualistic sacrifices, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Yajna Dana Tapa Karma Na Trajam Karyam, that all these things have to be there to keep a perfect society. The performance of sacrifice is essential. To perform yajna, clarified butter is absolutely necessary, and to get clarified butter, milk is necessary. And how is milk necessary? From sufficient cows. So therefore, there needs to be cow protection. So Prabhupada also mentions a little bit, this is from the 8th canto, describing that pastime of the Sarabi cow, which appeared. And Prabhupada again brings the point about how it's so important that this ghee, they wanted to perform sacrifices, these great sages, to attain the heavenly planets, or Brahmaloka. So here Prabhupada writes, Sarabi cows are generally found on the Vaikuntha planets, as described in the Brahma Samhita. Lord Krishna and his planet, Goloka Vrindavan, engages in tending the Sarabi cows. These cows are the Lord's pet animals. From the Sarabi cows, one can take as much milk as one needs, and one may milk these cows as many times as he desires. In other words, the Sarabi cow can yield milk unlimitedly. Milk is necessary for the performance of yajna. Sages know how to use milk to elevate human society to the perfection of life. Since cow protection is recommended everywhere in the Shastras, the Brahmavadis took charge of the Sarabi cow, in which the demons were not very interested. But for some reason, this demon wanted it because he could see what it could get more than milk from the Sarabi cow. So that was very nice. So we had some very beautiful pictures of Krishna coming and displaying his love for cows in the material world. We showed some pictures of Krishna in the spiritual world. And then how we got coming up here, Govardhan Puja. Got some images of that, how Krishna is so fond of his cows and calves and the Brahmins and his devotees that he will do so many different things, superhuman things, to protect them. So he lifted Govardhan Hill. And in that way, he protected the devotees. And there was a nice image of Lord Indra when, because he offended the Lord, he came with the Kamadeno cow to pacify Krishna. And the Kamadeno cow, they bathed Krishna with his milk to pacify him. It shows the very much importance of the cow. And then we can see how very wonderful image of Krishna and Balaram milking the cows, and how they're showing this is actually an ideal life. Ideal life doesn't mean idle life, because we're engaged in tending the cows. There's work to be done, and one maintains one's health by doing that work. And then there's reciprocal exchange between the animals, and everyone is in harmony with nature. Like that. So there was a nice... Actually, I saw this video, and I was showing an image here of the, you know, what a contrast between the cows in Krishna's time, very happy cows, beautiful pasturing grounds. And now you can see cows roaming around in India and different parts of the world. And this cow is laying on this pile of trash. And there's other cows roaming, and there's trash-ridden streets which are actually smoking from fire and trash. People are just burning. And the cows are just wandering there eating that. And there was one video that they were, there's this group trying to protect these cows. And this cow was so bloated and, you know, just couldn't even move. And they did an operation right on the spot. They opened up its stomach and they pulled out buckets and buckets of plastic bags that the cows were eating on. So this is what's happening to our society. And there's a very nice organization, which we know His Holiness Bhakti Raghava Swami was here, and he gave a very nice presentation about how they want to, you know, protect the mother cow. So he has this organization, Om Shri Sarabi Campaign, which is going to go on for 12 years. And it's meant to bring back the auspiciousness of the mother cow, the presence of the cow and the importance of the cow, and how society is performing the biggest sins by killing its mother and neglecting its mother, and how it has such serious repercussions, and how people are suffering because of that. So they're doing this huge campaign, and they're showing wonderful ways that different temples are actually coming on board, and they're doing these different things to protect the cows and do all these different things like that. So he had some nice presentations, and there's a wonderful video that he put together. It's like 15 minutes, which I would have shown if we were able to do this. But anyway, there's a very nice prayer that he had all the people pray during his seminar. And let's see if I could get that here for you. And I think we can say that. It's a prayer to Mother Sarabi. Oh, Mother Sarabi, you are the mother of the cows. You sustain all life and all living entities. You provide shelter to those who have no shelter. You fulfill all desires. Your very presence brings all auspiciousness. You are the source and basis of all wealth. You are pure, attractive, and aromatic. You bring one to the mode of goodness. You bring health, longevity, and good fortune. You are our universal mother. Without you, we will have no mothers. Without you, we will have no life. Without you, we will have no shelter. Without you, we will have no hope. Without you, we will have no happiness. Without you, we will have no food. Without you, we will have no direction. Without you, we will have no morality. Without you, we will have no health. Without you, we will become orphans. Please allow us to serve you. Please allow us to love you. Please allow us to worship you. Please allow us to be with you. What a wonderful prayer, huh? So we end here with another description of Lord Parshuram with his chopper. Very amazing scene, which he is, you know, terrorizing the demon. And Prabhupada mentions here, this is very important in this purport. Brahminical culture is enjoined in the Shastra, especially in Bhagavad Gita. Chartavanya maya srishtam guna karma vibhaga saha. According to the laws of nature, whether at the time of Parshuram or at the present, if the government becomes irresponsible and sinful, not caring for brahminical culture, there will certainly be an incarnation of God like Parshuram to create a devastation by fire, famine, pestilence, or some other calamity. So Krishna comes as an incarnation of these things. Calamity, pestilence, famine. Whenever the government disrespects the supremacy of this personality of Godhead and fails to protect the institution of Vanashram Dharma, it will certainly have to face such catastrophes as formerly brought about by Lord Parshuram. That's a purport in the part two of this superhero, Lord Parshuram, in the next chapter. And the purport Prabhupada describes that, which is amazing. So Prabhupada goes on and describes how much importance milk is and how important it is to care for the cow. And Prabhupada came, you know, 50 years ago, Prabhupada came to show us his example, what it means to live according to the Vedic culture, what it means to actually be humble, to be respectful, to be forgiving. You know, we may hear about these things, tanadapi, sunichina, it's very romantic. But to actually know how it is, we have to see an example. And Srila Prabhupada came to give us that example in his life, in his teachings, in everything that he has given us. So therefore, we ended with a beautiful picture of Krishna laying down with his cows. And so, like they say, you love me, you love my dog. So Krishna may say, you love me, love my cow. So thank you very much. Om Shri Sarabhai Namaha. Jai. Any comments, questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for a very nice class. I just had
a
question about the... I had a few questions, but the first one is about Parashuram. So you mentioned that he's a Shaktivesh avatar.
Mm-hmm.
But so what does that mean? Because I remember Prabhupada one time explained that while chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, that Rama could mean either Balaram, Lord Rama, or Parashuram.
Mm-hmm.
So... So he's, we understand that he's empowered by God, but still is not God. So when you're chanting his names, what does that mean?
Yeah. So there's God, and then there's God. So Lord Parashuram is an incarnation of God's energy and his potency to do one thing. And then there's Lord Ram. And we see there's a pastime, I think, in the pastimes of Ramayana, where actually Parashuram is chastised by Lord Ram. So it shows the difference there. But, it could be, it's Krishna. Krishna is there. He's empowered. So Krishna can manifest himself in so many different ways. Through a jiva, even through ordinary living entities. That's a jiva. So that's the power of God. But there's a difference between Vishnu Tattva and, there's different incarnations of Krishna. There's expansions, there's incarnations, there's avatars, like that. So Krishna expands himself. Everything is Krishna. But at the same time, there's one simultaneously one and different. And your other question? Was that?
Yeah.
Okay. Share the mic. Hare Krishna.
Was it that you said... The sage Jamadagni,
yeah.
Jamadagni, he had a Kamadhenu cow.
Yes.
And that's different from the Surabhi cow?
It's the same thing.
The same cow?
Yeah, same kind of cow. Just different name for the same thing. Yeah. The Surabhi name and the Kamadhenu is the same thing for the cow. Same name. Two names are the same thing. Yes.
Prabhu, I'm a bit confused. You said Parashuram was a reincarnation of Rama, Lord Ram.
It was an incarnation of Krishna, the personality of Godhead.
And Ram too?
Well, he mentioned that Lord Ram, when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, that Prabhupada said it could mean Ramachandra or Parashuram,
right,
or Balaram.
When we say Ram, Ram was a Kshatriya. That's what I believe. And Parashuram was responsible for killing Kshatriyas over and over, generations of Kshatriyas.
Yeah. Yeah, Parashuram was actually a Brahminical, kind of Brahminical, but he took up the Kshatriya role, like that, so, for a purpose.
My only concern is, there was, as you purported in this verse, in these verses, Parashuram was killed. The king, the one king who was, this one king who was not pious. He, because of his undoing, he killed generations of Kshatriyas. Why would he kill so many Kshatriyas just for one person?
Yeah, it seems like such a slight offense to steal a cow to just wipe out his entire army and kill the person. And then the next chapter we'll see that he comes and kills his father. The demon's sons come and kill his father. And then for that, he kills all the Kshatriyas 21 generations. So it was on the plea of revenge. But actually, because they became puffed up and proud, then he wanted to annihilate them. Because everything God does is good for everybody. even though we may see it as, oh, this is extreme. What an extreme case. Yeah, but it's actually, it was that purpose, to annihilate the miscreants who became puffed up and make a burden to the earth, actually. So that was the reason. Thank you. Yes?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that the plastic is such a huge problem. In India, the cows suffer immensely.
What's a huge problem?
The plastic.
Oh, plastic.
We use plastic, especially disposable plastic. We use it once and throw it, and then it ends up either in the ocean or in some animal's stomach or in a landfill, and it's really a big problem. And it would be really nice if, if we look at our philosophy, we really care for the earth as well as because the earth is the beginning of everything. If you don't have the earth pure, then nothing is pure afterwards. So it's very important, and we all need to. It's really difficult because actually everything is wrapped in plastic, everything's made from plastic. But I think that if we as devotees can really make an effort to minimize and to separate and recycle what we do use, then it would be a huge
That's true.
Help for the planet.
Yeah, even the stores now are not giving plastic bags anymore.
Yeah, but they wrap.
Bring your own bag.
But
still there's so much plastic, yeah. Anyway, this is the Kali Yuga, and if we can become pure vessels, then Krishna will empower us to somehow or another bring back this Vedic culture, and that's what Srila Prabhupada wanted. In his last breath, he was saying that we have to bring up this Vanashram so that we could bring people to the mode of goodness. And what is this Vanashram? It's protecting the cows and the Brahmins. So any more comments, questions? Okay, it's time. Thank you very much. All goes to Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.